All right, if you will, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Now, God has already blessed us by the studying of Peter in his life, but I'm going to preach on learning to walk on water. And this is just one of the many miracles in the Bible that Jesus performed. A miracle is a supernatural intervention of God into the natural course of things. Well, there's several miracles that took place. Most of Jesus' miracles around Capernaum are within 9 miles of that area. And there's many times that the Sea of Galilee is mentioned in the Bible where those miracles occurred. Now, one was where Jesus has preached in Simon Peter's boat. And afterwards, Jesus says, let down your nets for a catch. They had fished all night long and they hadn't caught a single thing. These were good fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew all about fishing and the latest technique with a net. But they hadn't caught a thing all night. But nevertheless, Peter says, at the word of God, we'll let down the net for a draw. And the news got out in the Sea of Galilee, and the catfish came from Catfish Corner, and the brim came from Brim Boulevard. And they met at the avenue of the Bass Pro. And they loaded up Peter's net, and he pulled them in. So many fish at the command of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great miracle? The word of God went out to all the people. Miracles were happening. And this was a time that people were following Jesus everywhere. Jesus also another time was at the Sea of Galilee, out with his disciples. They were on a boat. And the Bible says a storm came up. And the Bible says that the boat was tossed to and fro. And the disciples were afraid. And they found Jesus in the bottom of the boat, laying there asleep. And they said, Master, don't you care that we are about to perish? And I suppose all of us have wondered at some time, point, does Jesus really care? We are in a terrible condition. In our lives, there's many storms, like on the Sea of Galilee. They come up. It could be the storm of a disease. Most people think today of cancer. It could be a storm of cancer. It can be a financial storm that you're about to face. It can be a storm of a family nature, marital problems. There's all kinds of storms that hit us as Christians. But the Lord said, listen. He got up and said to the wind and the waves, peace, be still. And those waves laid down at his feet like a whipped puppy. And they was wondering, what kind of man is this that even the waves obey his voice? And here's another occasion. In chapter 14, verse 24, let us read. Let's start with verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the winds were boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, unless your Spirit opens the eyes of our understanding, and unless we let your Spirit come into our heart, we will not understand how to walk on water this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask that you do exactly that. You take us at the point of our need, at the storms in our life, and Lord, open up our hearts so that we might follow your will in our life. Lord, there may be those here that are lost. They do not know you as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that you came that we might have life, eternal life. The Bible says you gave us that opportunity by going to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins. Lord, I ask this morning that we step out. Step out by faith. Step out of the boat. And Lord, we realize that when we do, Lord, that faith in you will lift us up. God, we thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, forgive us where we failed you and guide us now, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. What do you do when a storm arises in your life and Jesus is nowhere to be seen? What do you do? We have in this passage of Scripture a storm. The Bible says their ship is in the midst of the sea. The Bible says the wind was blowing contrary. That means if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, you know that it is surrounded on each side, it has high mountain range. It's kind of down in like a bowl, but each end is open. And if it's blowing out of Capernaum, it's coming from the north. It's a north wind that has come up, and the ship is being tossed. They're heading northward, and the winds are coming out of the mountain area down through that valley. And the storms arise real quick, and they are about to sink. Let me tell you, 1 minute, our lives can look calm, amen? And the next minute, we have a storm. Our lives daily are literally like the Sea of Galilee. They arise fast. Just this week, we've seen storms in people's lives as they have had heart attacks maybe, or as they've gone to test and got bad results. How do we deal with those kind of storms when Jesus Christ seems to be not present? You see, life is like that, isn't it? Oh, sometimes storms come up and we say, why me, Lord? Where are you? Where are you in my life? What are you doing in my life? I want to say some things that I want you to remember. Two major things. Storms are in the plan of Jesus Christ. They're in the mind and plan of Jesus Christ. Just because we are Christians, just because we are His children, doesn't mean that our life will not have some storms in it. But let me tell you, Jesus knew about the storm in your life even before it got there. You see, storms are part of life. Look at what the Bible says in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples, the old King James Version, I believe, has constrained. It means he compelled them to get into the boat. You can say it even stronger. He drove them to go into the ocean or to sea. Jesus pushed them out. Why? Well, there's several reasons why. Reminds me of the story of the little Boy Scout. He was late for one of their meetings, and about 10, 15 minutes late, he comes running through the door, and they're having their pledges and things like that, and he comes busting in, and the scoutmaster stops and says, "Johnny, where have you been? Why are you late?" Johnny says, "Well, I was doing my good deed, Mr. Scoutmaster, and it detained me." And he says, "What good deed did you do?" "Well, I helped a little lady across the street, sir." "And that took 20 minutes?" "Said it wouldn't have, but she didn't want to go." We're like that, aren't we? Sometimes God says, "Hey, I want you to do this." And we don't want to go. We don't want to do that. This is the disciples. But Jesus compelled them or drove them to go. I wonder why his disciples went into that storm. Why did he send them into the storm? Well, over in John chapter 6, we have a little bit of a parallel passage that is tells us why he drove them into the boat to get them across. You see, they wanted the people. Jesus had been doing miracles. They wanted to make him king. They were going to force him to be their king. And his disciples were rough men. His disciples were just the type of men that would take a sword and cut off a man's ear. They would have followed along. So Jesus is removing his disciples from what is about to happen, you see. He's getting them away from the temptation of them forcing him to be king. And he sends them off. And then the Bible says he goes up into the mountain to pray. That's one reason that he sends them off into the storm. He wants to get them away. And then another thing, Jesus is preparing them for the storms of life. You see, he put them in the boat and sent them out into the Sea of Galilee. That's a very little storm compared to what they were going to have to face in life. If you know the story of his disciples, they would be, each one of them, killed, tortured for the cause of Christ. One way to get them to grow in their faith is to start out with little problems. And many times in our lives, Jesus Christ lets a storm come along so that we might, by faith, simply trust him. Here's an instance in the Bible of being in the center of God's will. They were just where God placed them. Some people say, "Well, when you have a storm in your life, you're probably out of the will of God." No, you can be in the center of God's will and still have a storm come into your life. Sometimes when we're in that will, the difficulties of life are awful hard. And the Bible says the winds were contrary to their life. It was blowing in their face. And these storms come in our life. You know what? It would have been much easier for them to say, "Okay, we're going into the face of this storm. Let's turn the boat around and go back." In our life, many times, the wind and the storms are blowing directly in our face. And many times, instead of believing God, many times, instead of accepting God's perfect will for our life, we say, oh, wait a minute. This is not what I counted on. I'm going back. And we turn around. But that's not the best way. Sometimes we turn around and go back, and God still blesses our life, but we don't have the best for our life. You see, God wants the best for our life. He wants us to grow in our spiritual maturity, and that's the reason He sends storms into our life. And after all, the Bible says they were in peril, but Jesus was in prayer. Man, let me tell you something. There's no better place to have God praying for you. And the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ intercedes on my behalf. Did you know God's praying for you right now? He prayed for Peter. He said, Peter, I pray for you. The devil wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to put a storm in your life. But Peter, let me tell you something. I'm praying for you. Folks, Jesus Christ doesn't leave us. He's there in the storms of life. He says in His word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I said, it may seem that Jesus is nowhere around, but His presence is always with us in our life. He's right here today. He's in this building today. He's in your heart today. If you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, He's there praying for you. There's nothing that can come your way that Jesus Christ can't handle if you'll just let Him. If you'll look to Him. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. It says, now in the fourth watch, that was between about 3 and 6 a.m. That's probably the darkest part of the morning. That's probably the darkest time. But you know what? In the darkest situations in our life, Jesus is there. The Bible says He came to them walking on the water. You know what that shows? That shows the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He tells us that we too can walk on water. Humanly speaking, that's impossible. But when Jesus Christ says something, things listen. You see, the Bible says He created everything. There's not a thing that He didn't create. The fountains of the deep, Christ created. He poured out the water. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ stepped into the water, man, it was like concrete. He could walk on that water. Even the winds and the waves obeyed His voice. And the point is, the waves may be over your head, but the waves are always under His feet. The problems you have in life, whether it's cancer, whether it's heart trouble, whether it's finances, whether it's your marriage, Jesus Christ is the answer. The waves are always, the storms are always under His feet. No wonder He says to His disciples, be of good cheer. It is I. It's me. Now, what they thought was bad, guess what? Turned out to be good. Every need they have is supplied in Christ Jesus. All that we need today is supplied to you and I in Christ Jesus. So we have the storm, and we see the saints, or the Savior. Now we see the saints, okay? The Savior is there. Now, I like the saints because I am one, huh? You are. If you're born again, you're a saint. You didn't know that, did you? The saint is a person that is born again in Christ Jesus. Now, I love this guy. We talked about Peter this morning in Sunday school. I love this guy, Simon Peter. He's kind of like me. Like Perry said this morning, he's always opening his mouth, sticking his foot in it. That's the way most of us are, amen? I know you men. I heard one this morning say something about his wife, and I said, oh, man, you shouldn't have said that. You're going to get it when you get home. We always do things like that, aren't we, man? We're dumb, too. No wonder Jesus says we're like sheep. You know, Peter could do something great one minute and do something so dumb the next minute. One thing about Peter was he was always, well, I say most of the time, the point is he's always wanting to be next to Jesus. You see, he, I believe with all my heart, he loved Jesus. Even though he denied him, the Bible says he wept bitterly. You don't do that if you don't like somebody. He loved him and he failed him. And that's the reason he wept bitterly. Don't you want to be close to Jesus Christ this morning? I don't know about you, but I do. And I don't know about you, but I fail him. I have to ask him forgiveness all the time. But you know what? I want to be like Jesus. You know, there were several in the Bible that wanted to be like Jesus, and they failed Jesus time after time. You know, the Bible says if we repent of our sin, he will forgive us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He knows we're going to blow it. He knew Peter was going to blow it. But he still loved him. And you know, Peter was in the boat. The waves were, they were scared of those waves. They feared for their life, and they saw Jesus coming. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you. And he said, come. Come. Lord, if it is you, you see, he knew that only Jesus Christ could get him to walk on water. And I believe with all my heart, boy, I can see Peter now. He starts climbing over that boat. Those other guys in that boat start saying, what is he doing now? Is he gone crazy? That's what we'd have thought. But let me tell you something. He believed in Christ. He trusted that was God. At his word, he stepped out of the boat. I can hear John say right now, he's done some dumb things, but this beats them all. I can hear some of your wives saying, man, y'all have done some dumb things, but that beat it all. Let me tell you something. Don't criticize Peter. I heard, I don't know if it was J. Vernon McGee or one of the other old preachers of the past said, at least he got out of the boat. A lot of us don't even want to get out of the boat, do we? Jesus says, I want you to do this. And we say, oh, Lord, we can't do that. You don't even give it a shot. You say you believe the word of God. You say you trust God. And yet when God says, I want you to do this, I can't do that, Lord. We're kind of like old Moses. Well, Lord, we've got 100 different reasons why we can't, even if Jesus says we can. How do you get permission to get out of the boat? You go to God and ask him, just like Peter, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. And then when Jesus gives you permission, Jesus says, okay. The Bible says Peter stepped out. You know what? I can see him right now. He's climbing out of that old boat. That water is just like concrete. It helped him up. I don't know about you, but I believe he was a dancing on the way to Jesus. He was probably doing that Baptist boogie, you know. Some people say Baptists don't have too many moves, but I've seen some pretty good ones. He was dancing, I believe, praising God on the way to Jesus. Something has happened in his life. He's walking on the water. But there's always something happens, doesn't it? The Bible says after he stepped out and walking towards Jesus, he looked at the waves or the wind and saw that it was boisterous and was afraid. We are a lot like that, don't we? We trust Jesus. We get out of the boat and we start walking on the water. We start doing what Christ wants us to do, and we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put them on ourselves, or we put them on our circumstances, and we start doing our own thing. And let me tell you, when we start doing our own thing, we start to sink, because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he was afraid. Fear is looking at God through your circumstances. Fear is looking at God, but also seeing your circumstances. You're looking through, Lord, I believe you want to help me in my marriage. I believe you want to help me in my finances, but faith is looking at God through your circumstances and overcoming. I really think that Jesus Christ let him fail because he wanted to show him that when you take your eyes off of Jesus and get them on the winds and the waves, you're going to fall short. And a lot of times, Jesus, I believe, lets us trip and stumble and fall just to show us, hey, unless you walk with me, unless you stay in the center of my will, this is what's going to happen. And I know Peter, and he knew Peter. He would have been bragging to those others. Ha, ha, I walked on water. Can you do that? He couldn't say then that he did it. All he could say was, Jesus Christ saved me. He saved me. He lifted me up. Listen, you may go down trusting God, but you'll never go under with God. You may fall. You may trip. You may stumble, but you'll never go under because God is always there. And let me tell you, any storm is worth it if it brings you closer to Jesus Christ. Any storm, whether it's financial, whether it's disease, whether it's marriage, whatever it is, it's worth if it brings you closer to God. Now, if it's not bringing you closer to God, something's wrong in your life. You go out here and start living like the devil in the world, and let me tell you something, you're going to have problems. You better turn around and get back in the will of God. You better get your eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. Now this morning, in a service like this, there's probably some lost people. There's probably some people still living in the sin of life. You've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. You may have gone to church all your life, but you've never made a true commitment to God. You've never stepped out on the water by faith and said, Lord, save me. I've been with some people that knew all the religious jargon they could speak, boy. You ask them something in the Bible and they'd tell you. But in life, they never knew Jesus Christ. One day, people are going to get to heaven, and they're going to come before God, and they say, Lord, hadn't we done this? Haven't we done that? And he's going to say, I never knew you. It's going to be a sad day. There's some here this morning that may be lost. You need to be, by faith, coming to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Get that settled in your life. I have people all the time say, preacher, I just don't know for sure if I'm saved or not. Well, if I wasn't sure, I would make sure. That's what happened to me. I knew in my heart that I wasn't saved. I'd been baptized. I'd been in church all my life. But I knew in my heart I had never given my life to Jesus Christ. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply sinking within, sinking to rise no more. Oh, man. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. He lifted me. He lifted me. Now safe am I. I know that Christ lives here. Do you know that? Young people, you're starting off. You've graduated 12 years. I've known you. I've watched you. I've watched you from a little babe, some of them. I've seen the changes in your life. The greatest change is Jesus Christ. He makes in your life. You follow him. Whatever degree you want, you go after it. But you put him in the center of your will. You let Christ be Lord of your life. You let him stand out as that shining person in your life, that when people see you, they will know that you belong to Christ. If they say anything about it, listen to it. It has cost me my job before. I've had someone say, preachers are worth the dime a dozen. If I need one, I'll buy him. And I've told them, you won't buy me. Jesus Christ has paid the price for my life. And I've turned and walked away, knowing that I didn't have a job. But I'd rather obey God than have all the jobs in the world. I'd rather be broke and have Jesus than all the money in the world. You see, none of that will follow you. Only what you do for God will last. Jesus went through a storm one day. It was a storm of Calvary. They came, they took him, they tried him, they beat him, they nailed him to an old rugged cross. And he hadn't done a thing except love people. And yet the Bible says he died on that cross, not for himself, but he died for you, that you might have eternal life. Now, if you don't have eternal life, the price has already been paid. The banquet table is ready. Your name and plate is there. But if you don't come, you'll never enjoy heaven. If you never come to Jesus and accept that gift of salvation, you'll go into a devil's hell, lost. Not because Jesus Christ sent you there, but because you chose to go there. What are you going to do? Some of you want to get out of the boat this morning. You've already been saved. You're safe in the boat. But God is calling you to get out of the boat and start living by faith. And you're wondering, can I? Let me tell you, with God, all things are possible. You can walk on water if you put your faith and eyes upon Jesus Christ. Some of you this morning have come here. You don't have a church home. You're looking for a church home. And God has spoken to you. And this is the place. Why not come? Why not come? If God is telling you and you're not doing it, then you're out of the will of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord. This time we can come to you, study your word, listen to you, touch our hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make a decision, Lord, let them come right now. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.